First of all, I want y'all to repeat after me. Say,
I expect
to hear
from God
revelation knowledge
concerning my life
in Jesus' name.
I love the minister.
No, I'm sorry.
No,
amen.
Because the subject I have for y'all today is going to be fun.
However,
always remember that
Corey says it,
Howdy says it,
Ricky says it,
Rusty says
it. When we're up here preaching,
we're talking to us,
okay?
So if you get anything out of it,
it's up to you.
But
so don't,
this is for Ricky.
And believe me,
thank you, sir.
The Holy Spirit
has not let me
get away from this yet.
I taught this lesson
about 3 or 4 weeks
ago before rodeo.
And
so I thought I was
done with it.
And then when
Corey called me a week
or so ago
about ministering,
I started praying.
And then
we went through the
rodeo.
And
the Holy Spirit
said, you're not done yet.
You need
to finish this.
And more than
just Bible study
needs to hear the message.
And so
I was telling Laurie
this morning, we were
talking as we were getting
ready, and
the Holy Spirit
told me,
because I thought, well,
I'll be through with it after
today.
And the Holy
Spirit says, no,
this is
something that we're never
done with.
So
what we got
today is something that
affects our lives
every day.
And I'm
going to start out on something
a little bit fun.
I won't, because a
lot of people will get a
chuckle out of this, please.
Did I say
please?
So
the title of this
message is called
Here's Your Sign.
We're batting
one for one.
It's not bad.
So
Laurie and I are
in charge of the gate
at the rodeo.
And
we put up
signs
all over
that place.
I mean
signs that say
credit card
this way,
cash
this way.
Oh, and
I've got a big sign out
there about
25, 30
yards in front of the gate
that says,
no outside
food or beverage.
They're everywhere.
We got a sign
that says
behind the entrance
gate that says,
no exit.
And what do?
Try
to exit.
So
I noticed
on opening day,
because Thursday it's
a little slow,
so it's kind of,
you know, we all get into
rhythm. Yeah, if
you've been here before and
worked the rodeo,
Thursday's kind of
like, oh, thank you,
Lord, we're not real
busy yet, because
everybody, it's kind of like
getting in a flow.
So I saw
people
bringing cups
in, and we've had this
problem
for several years.
So I went
out to that sign
and
stood behind it.
And people
would walk to
that sign carrying
their drinks.
And I'm like,
You
can't bring
that in.
What?
I said,
well, it says
no
outside food and beverages.
I'm just trying to trade,
save you some
steps from getting
all the way to the gate,
and then you have to turn around and go back
and put it in your car.
You know,
or I said,
if you can
dump it out and
take your cup in,
and they can fill it
inside.
It's
just water.
I went,
okay.
If it's water,
just pour it out, go on
in. No,
it's just water.
Well,
so
I see this.
It's just water.
They take the lid off.
I don't
know people that
chug water.
I'm not saying
what it was
or anything else.
Oh,
or, wait,
I wrote them down.
They're good. There's some
good ones.
I'm standing at
that sign, and I said,
it's just water.
And I said,
sir, it says
no outside
beverages.
He said, it's
just
water.
And I said,
sir, is
water a beverage?
Oh,
you're going to go there.
Go where?
Water
is a beverage.
Oh, he was mad.
And then
Laurie saw one.
It was a lady, and
they stopped at the
sign out there
away from the gate.
And they had
a cooler.
They're standing
there, look at that sign.
I
loved to hear the
conversation, you know,
like, oh,
open your purse.
Open your purse.
They started
taking, dripping stuff
out and putting it in the
lady's purse.
And they took
the cooler back,
and they got to the gate,
and Laurie said, you can't bring
that in. And she goes,
oh, no,
they're taking it back
to the
car.
And she said, no,
ma'am, what'd you put in your purse?
Oh,
Oh, how'd that get in there? This one's a good one, though, y'all. She had one guy come in. I missed this. I'm sorry. I missed it, too. Because he came in and he got a brand. He came in with the Sonic cup. And he said, she said, I'm sorry, but you can't bring that in. And he goes, it's brand new. I just got it at Sonic. She said, I'm sorry. You can't bring it in. And he said, well, they didn't. She said, there's the sign right there. It says no outside beverages. He goes, they didn't have a sign at Sonic that said I couldn't bring it in here. Well, one guy dumped it out, dumped his little cup out, and he walks through going in when he paid with it dripping out, showing that he had dumped it out. Yeah. And one lady goes, well, do y'all sell water in there? Yes. Oh, you're just trying to make money. Duh. But, you know, okay, there's that, you know. But also in the fact, like I told one lady, I said, ma'am, her daughter was carrying in a big deal. And I said, I know she doesn't have alcohol in there, but I can't discriminate between her and someone else because I have people trying to sneak in margaritas and beer. And I mean, you just can't, it's okay. You just can't bring it in, you know? Well, the mother wouldn't let the little girl, no, we're not wasting that. We're not going to go put it in the car. I'm going to go put it in the car. It was like really weird. So what I'm saying today is people's perspective has got out of line. They see that sign and their perspective is it's about me. It's just water. We had one lady tell Laurie, standing there, her and her husband. She goes, well, my doctor said that it's a special kind of water. Doctor's orders. You can't make this up, y'all, I'm telling you. So you're like, you're going to die if you go in and you don't have your special water? Or, well, I have dry mouth syndrome and get some in there. People's perspective has become about me. And as I was going through this and the Holy Spirit guiding me through there, I came upon one, and I'm going to quit. This is the message, so I promise. I came upon, and probably a lot of y'all have seen it, and it was about a baseball coach that was giving a speech, and he was talking to about, 400 to 1,000 baseball coaches, all levels, little league, major league, college, high school, Babe Ruth, and he was 78 years old, and he came out wearing home plate around his neck. He's standing up there talking, and a lot of them had seen him speak. They're laughing and talking, and in about 5 or 10 minutes, he goes, you know, I know y'all are wondering what home plate is around my neck, and I am 78 years old, but I do remember I have it around my neck. There's a reason. So he asked a question. He said, how many of you little league coaches I got in here, and a bunch of them raised their hand, they said, how wide is home plate? They were like, 17 inches? He goes, that's right. They weren't too sure of themselves, but 17 inches. He said, we got any Babe Ruth coaches in here? Raise your hand. How wide's home plate in Babe Ruth? 17 inches. High school coaches, same answer. College coaches, same answer. Minor league baseball coaches, how big's home plate in minor league? 17 inches. How big is it in the major leagues? 17 inches. And he said, so what happens when you have a player that you have a facial hair policy and they come in and didn't shave and he's your best player? What do you do if you have a player that was late and he's your home run hitter? Do you change the rules for him because he's your home run hitter, or do you stick to the rules that you have? He said, so perfect. We as a society in our country, in our schools, in churches, have started widening the plate. We're changing the rules for everybody else. We're allowing their perspective to change the things instead of us changing our perspective to see what we're supposed to see. Amen? So, perspective. is a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something. It's a point of view. So when we have a perspective, it's your point of view on how you see something or how you view something. Have you ever driven the same road a lot? And then one day you actually come from the other way and it's a road you don't really come the other way on. And you go, wow, I didn't know that was there. I've been driving our road for 2 years and I did that the other day. I saw something on that road, but my point of view had changed. My perspective on how I saw that changed. You see, we have to learn to see from a larger frame of reference. What happens, we get caught up in the world and we start seeing this. It's hard to see the rest of the perspective when you're like this. God, if we start learning how to have a God perspective, then we start seeing like this instead of like this. Amen? So let's go to Numbers 13. And that is, for those of you who need some help, go to the front of the Bible and go over four chapters to the right. Numbers 13. Chapter 13, and we're going to start about verse 25. This is where Moses had sent Joshua and Caleb to go. God wanted them to send somebody, or some spies, to go check out the promised land. He's going to go over there and check it out. And so he sent some guys over there. So we're going to pick up at 25, and it said, they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness. Okay, we're going to go through that. And then verse 27, and they told him and said, we come unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So here they're talking about how nice it is. Man, this is a great place. It flows with milk and honey. Amen? So let's jump down to verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. So Caleb's telling the people right here, man, it's a great place, and let's go because we can take it. God wants us to go find out. So Caleb and Joshua come back with the perspective, the point of view that, hey, this is ours, man. It's ours for the taking. So let's read on. 31, but the men that went with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof and all the people, and we saw it in our men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which become of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Okay, so let's stop right here. So obviously, Caleb and Joshua have a God perspective. When they went over there, they saw what God intended for them to see. Because their faith was that if God's with us, who's against us? I mean, God's on our team. How do you lose when God's on your team? You don't. But then you have the others, the doubters, that are going, oh, but they're big. Man, we're just like little bitty bugs around those big old boys. Isn't that interesting, though, that the Bible's showing us two different perspectives? It's like, ooh, thank you, Holy Spirit. It's like God gives us, choose life or choose death? Choose blessing or choose cursing? These guys, it's your perspective. It's how they saw that. What are you seeing? How is your perspective on what you see? Is your perspective like, oh, we're just little bitty bugs? Or is it like, no, baby, it's mine. It's ours. Let's go. Amen. See, that's the attitude God wants us to have. That's the perspective He wants us to have. Where's your perspective? 1 Corinthians tells us that we have to have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, are we going to look at that land and or in our perspective and go, oh, we are just like bugs? I don't know about y'all, but God says I'm a more than a conqueror. Amen? Man, I can do anything through Jesus. Woo! Huh, made some of you jump. Sorry. But if you stop and think about it, what is your perspective? How are you looking at things that happen in your daily life? I'm telling you, when you can get a hold of that, when you can get the right perspective, oh my Lord, it changes. It changes everything for you. Y'all go to Romans 12, please. And thank you. Romans 12. And we're going to start in verse 2. Well, we're probably not going to go any more than verse 2, but we're going to start there, and we may finish there. Verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I'm going to read it out of the Amplified because, man, "Do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs." Y'all, we may live in this world, but we aren't of this world. Amen. That's what it's telling us to do right there. Don't you dare conform to what's going on nowadays. Amen. Don't believe it. Do not conform to it. Do not allow them to talk to you and move you from your God perspective. Amen? See, because that's more important than anything, because we just talked about it, said that we need to have the mind of Christ. Well, if we have the mind of Christ, I can tell you one thing I know about my Jesus. He didn't ever waver. Amen. Woo! Amen. I mean, because stop and think, He died on the cross. We just talked about it in communion. And He could have quit, y'all, but He didn't. See, His perspective was a God perspective. Amen? So let's go on. "But be transformed, changed by the entire," not just a little bitty part of your mind, says the whole thing, "the entire renewal of your mind by its new ideas and its new attitude." Everybody say attitude.
Attitude.
Everybody say good attitude.
Good.
I like that. Okay, so what I want y'all to do is I want you to remember that word attitude, because we're going to get there in just a minute. "So that you may prove for yourselves." That's really important, and I like that, because the Holy Spirit showed me you're not proving it for somebody else. See, we get caught up in when we have the transformation of our mind and we renew our mind and we're going, oh, I want them to see what I'm doing. No, it's not. It's for yourself. I don't know why I did that. That kind of was weird. But do not do it for other people. Do it for yourself. Amen? You don't have to convince anybody else that you have a God perspective. But be careful, because how you walk and how you talk will tell whether you really have a God perspective or not. Amen? Because it will change your life. When you get a hold of perspective and we're fixing to go into attitude, it will change your life. And I want that for everybody in here today, and those of you listening on the internet. "So that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight." Now listen to this, for you. Okay? It didn't say it was for Howdy. Didn't say it's for Kenny. Said it was for you. Okay? So it's that individual thing that we're talking about, y'all. It's for you and for you and for you. I mean, we just go around here. It's for all yous. Right? That's what the Word says. So when we learn how to have that perspective and we start working on that perspective, it changes our attitude. Amen? AKA, we call that for our kids when we had a paddle or a timeout. Well, we didn't time out. You were grounded for life. Was an attitude adjustment. Amen? If we allow God to do that for us, and we start digging in and trying to get, man, what's God's perspective on this? What's God's point of view on this? Then our attitude will start changing, and it becomes an everyday way of living. Amen? I'm a walking testimony for that, y'all. As I've gotten into the ministry over the years, and I've sat under Corey, and I've watched Corey, and Corey walks that way. Yes, he may get irritated. We all do. But he walks with a good attitude and a positive perspective. And I strive for that because I have less, so much, no stress in my life anymore. My perspective has changed, and it has changed my attitude. Example, I went and hit golf balls the other day because it's getting golfing time. And I'm out there hitting, and these probably 10, 11-year-old boys are out there. You know, I love it because I remember when I was younger and I'd go to the driving range, and they're out there, you know, and they're out there. They'd turn their club around backwards and hit balls, and they're trying all these trick shots and stuff. Weren't very good, but they were having fun. You know, and like I said, they're about 10, 11 years old, and I'm sitting there going, it's kids. You know, because that's a bad thing with everything that's going on, and you see bad kids, and it seems like that at times you see kids, more kids that act up than kids that behave. At least that's what we're told. And these two big old high school boys pull up in a golf cart. And they get out, and they walk. They knew one of these boys. They walk up to him, and they start talking to these little guys. And you can see those little guys. His chest starts, because you got, these were big. They were big, they were probably 6'2 or 3, and they weighed a little over 200 pounds. They were big boys. And they were fixing to play golf. And, man, I heard you're a good golfer, Dylan. And that little 10-year-old boy, chest poked out. These big high school boys are over here talking to me. And they stood there, and I run out of golf balls. I was just caught in the moment because it was one of those perspective things that you hear and that changes your attitude. And those big boys stood there and talked to those little kids. And so I get through, and I go over the putting green, and I wanted to talk to those high school kids. And I saw them pull off. I said, "Hey, guys, come here." I shook their hand. I said, what you just sowed into those young boys right there, they'll talk about that for the rest of their life. I said, you guys, give proof. Give proof that young people are still good people. You took time to visit with two little young boys that you could have went on your way about. You could have picked on. You could have done everything else. But no, you went and sowed integrity into those two boys. See, that's perspective. When you learn to change your perspective and you see that, then my attitude is, you know what? There's a lot more better kids than there are bad ones in this earth. Well, how are you looking at it? Amen? So as y'all know, Laurie and I have four daughters. Man, I'm only not even halfway through. And I know about attitude. There's two that go to church here. One of them teaches a class, and the other's one of the youth ministers. They would tell you it's the other two that had the attitude, though. But you see, attitude is so much a part of our life. Attitude is an internal position or feeling, manner, disposition with regard to a person or thing, especially of the mind. Huh. So I'm saying that attitude is not here. Attitude in perspective start here in your mind. Then as your perspective starts changing your attitude, then it gets in your heart, because that's where God wants it to be. Amen? Y'all go to Philippians 2. Just go to the right a few pages.
Philippians 2, and I'm going to start in verse 3. And it says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So I want to read this out of the Amplified because it's interesting. Do nothing from factional motives. I looked up that word factional because I know what it means. I mean, I know what a fraction is, but this is factional. So it means self-interest. Huh. So it says, do nothing from self-interest through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends. What are you doing stuff for? Do you blame other people for your problems? Is it always somebody else's fault? Are you trying to be, you get caught up in blaming other people, then you take ownership of what's going on. So when you start changing your perspective, it'll change all that. You see, we have to get rid of the woe is me attitude. It's woe is me. Well, this happened. Well, it was so-and-so's fault. So-and-so did this. I can't believe they said that about me. Get over it. I'm telling y'all, get over it. Learn how to just move on. Because all you do is wear yourself out. Amen? Change your perspective. Quit doing stuff for you self-interest-wise. It says to start thinking about other people. Instead, here we go. So instead of doing all that, oh, and that last part, it said empty arrogance. So we don't want to do that kind of thing. It's a bad thing. Instead, the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. In other words, when you quit blaming other people and you start trying to build other people up that you want to blame, your perspective will change and your attitude will change. And you'll go, you know what? I love you. I love God and I love people. No, you may have done something that hurt my feelings, but you know what? You might not even know you did it. So why am I going to let it bother me? Change your perspective. It'll change your life attitude. Amen? So according to the Word, how should our life be towards certain things? I mean, what if we have troubles? What should our attitude be? If we have it toward finances, if we have trouble toward sickness, if we have trouble, what should our attitude be? The Word says Christ-like. Amen? What better attitude than Christ-like? In Ephesians 5, it tells us that we should be imitators of God. Well, if we're imitators of God, then we're not blaming other people. Right? If we're imitators of God, we're not panicked about the world economy because we operate in God's economy. Amen. Or if you're having relation troubles, quit operating in the world. Change your perspective, which will change your attitude. Let go of the past and move on. And some of y'all go, oh, well, but I've been holding on to this big broken toe for 20 years. Okay. Keep it. It's going to hurt. But you see what I'm saying is, what's your perspective? I'm tired of having that big toe that hurts for 20 years. It's healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Change your perspective, which will change your attitude. So there's four things that I want to mention real quick. So when we talk about having an attitude, there's four things. What should our attitude be toward God? First of all, it should be love. It should be trust. It should be reverence. We should submit to God. When we learn how to start having attitudes, the right kind of attitude toward things, then again, your life will change quickly and easily. We had a water leak. And I just said, it's a leak. We'll figure it out. I know my family probably does not care much for the words, we'll figure it out anymore. But I quit getting worn out about things. It's a leak. We'll fix it. Not, we'll call somebody to come fix it. I don't know, because I don't know much about fixing leaks. But fortunately, it was an easy fix. I changed my perspective because I'm tired, of being beat down, and being, and just, you can't blame everybody. You have to take ownership, y'all. And when you start taking ownership of your perspective, then you'll have a new attitude, and man, God's so good. Amen. Amen. Because if we're loved for God, that's the attitude we should have. Because in Mark, it tells us, ooh, the first great commandment is what? Love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Woo! So the second thing that we should have a good attitude toward is other Christians and non-believers. Right? Because if we're supposed to love the Lord with all our heart, then the second commandment was, we're supposed to love thy neighbor as we loved ourself. Oh, well, wait a minute. I kind of like me, but I don't really like or love or, doesn't matter. It does. There's no ifs, ands, or buts in there about it, y'all. It says that. See, that's a hard thing for people. Change your perspective. It will change your life. Y'all going to be tired of hearing change. But I'm telling you, when you've, I finally experienced that in my life over the last 2 or 3 years, and it's so freeing. It's so much fun. Because if we're treating others like we love God and we love ourselves, then people will want to be Christians. But if people see us Christians and believers acting with a bad attitude, they're going to go, why would I want to do that? They can have a bad attitude and they don't have to have God. They got God and they still act that way? Are they still, you know, well, it's always something else. It was not me. It's not them. They didn't do it. They blame it on other people or whatever. See, people are going to look at that and go, well, I got friends like that and they ain't Christians. Christians act just like they do. Then why would I want to be? You see what I'm saying? We got to get a hold of this, y'all. Each individual person has to get a hold of changing your perspective. The third thing, circumstances you're going through. What should be your attitude through that? Colossians, real fast. You can flip there or I'll read it to you. Colossians 1, and it starts in verse 11. And I love this, for when you're going through something, we pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. Amen. You see, when you're going through something, we should have the attitude of joy. We should have the attitude of endurance. We should have the attitude of patience. And I know those are ugly words for some of us. But when we learn to have those, we have that joy going through those. Amen? Amen? And when we have success, because if we're practicing what we're taught from Williamson County Cowboy Church, man, you will be successful. If you're practicing what you learn from this church, you'll be successful. So what should our attitude be towards success? Humble. And don't get caught up in, remember, Pastor Corey always says, there's nowhere in the Bible that it says, oh, God will humble you, because God won't humble you. That's our job. It says to humble ourselves. Amen? We have to take charge. We have to be the ones working on our perspective, working on our attitude, and then we get those things of we're humbling ourselves. See, that's how humble applies. If you're working on yourself. So, how did we develop a good attitude? Well, I'm glad y'all asked. Number one, you have to identify and repent of bad attitudes. It says in Acts 22 to repent from thy wicked ways.
And you know, when we think of wicked ways, we just think of all the naughty stuff, you know. Wicked ways is bad attitude. It applies. It covers all of that. And somebody, well, I don't know when I'm in a bad attitude. Well, then ask everyone else around you. No, I didn't. I'm kidding. Don't. If you repent and you're digging into the Word, trying to change your perspective, the Holy Spirit will start telling you when you have a bad attitude. Amen. You don't have to wait on your husband or wife or whoever, your kids, or to tell you, you might want to bring her down a notch. You see, when we start working on our perspective in the Word, it will change. Number two, we have to renew in the Word. Renewed in the Word would be the renewing of our minds. Ephesians tells us that we be renewed in our mind. And that's by in the Word. Number three, we've got to submit our attitudes to God. Now, this is just, you don't have to answer this out loud, but so if you're going to submit your attitude to God, are you going to submit a bad attitude to God? I mean, wouldn't you want to submit your best to God? If you're submitting yourself, don't you want to submit the best that you have to offer? When you're walking and you're telling people that you're a believer and you're a Christian, don't you want to be walking the best you can walk that God can see that? When you submit your obedience to God, you want it to be the best attitude you can have. Number four, think the Word. Pages open right there. It was next to Colossians. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Why would you want to think on anything less? You stop right now, you stop and think about it. Why would you really want to think on anything less? In the Amplified, it says, for the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on those. Amen? When you start learning how to fix your mind on those things, then you quit fixing your perspective on how bad the economy is, how bad your life is, how bad whatever it is. When you start fixing your words and your mind on that's above, that's when your perspective will start changing. I'm getting close to closing. I can't believe I got here this quick. Number five, we all need to have a Jesus attitude. And I wrote these things down. Jesus' attitude is the perfect attitude in any circumstance. He prayed about everything and worried about nothing. Never became defensive or discouraged, patient in the midst of trials. In the middle of suffering, he was hopeful. In the midst of blessing, he was humble. His goal was to please the Father, not his own agenda. If we learn how to have that kind of attitude, then we quit trying to have our own agenda. We start learning how to love people and build people up instead of tear people down. Our perspective changes our attitude. And I'm going to close with this scripture, John 6:38. It says, for I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. When we learn how to do his will and not our will or what we think benefits us more, then you'll have the attitude with peace like you've never experienced in your life. Amen? Amen. Have you had a good time this morning? Amen. Did you learn something this morning? Well, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you know that we never do a service without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to do it right now. Not another day needs to go by that if you leave this earth that you know, that you know, that you know where you're going. So right now, out of your mouth, right where you sit, we're going to say a prayer. We're going to ask you to come down the front. We're going to have believers say it with us. So you won't be saying it by yourself, but we're going to say it out loud. So right now, out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. I believe you died on that cross for my sins. Father, I thank you that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Father, I praise you that he now lives in me and that I have a God attitude in Jesus' mighty name. Now, before you raise your head and look around, if there's anybody here this morning that just accepted Jesus for the first time, just said that prayer, we're not going to ask you to come down the front, but we do want you to just, on the count of three, I'm going to have you raise your hand, put it right back down. We want to get you a Bible. And there's a card in there that you can fill out and you can put it in the offering buckets. But the word says that never be afraid to confess me before man and I will confess you before the Father. That's what Jesus says. So right now on the count of three, I just want you to stick your hand up and then put it right back down if that's you. One, two, three. Anybody? Get that hand high. Be bold today. All right. Amen. Y'all look at me. Everybody's saved in here. That should be a big round of applause, if nothing else. Your own.
Yes. Bingo, one, two, three. There we go. Now we're on. It's the blue one, by the way. And, I was sitting there, and when you were preaching, I was like, man, perspective? Oh, man, because there are so many ways, so many things that you could change your perspective on. I heard a guy say one time, he said, you know, when you have a conversation with somebody, they may not always remember what you said, but they'll remember how you made them feel. And sometimes they remember both. And if they ever remember both and you said something you shouldn't have, then they've got something on you, you know, for the rest of your life. But you know, it's on Facebook. You know, you ever heard the old saying, you know, sometimes my face says what I'm not actually saying. You know, you don't want to be there. You know, you gotta have the Jesus attitude, because it's like he said, Jesus attitude works for everything. And, you know, there's so many reasons to be the opposite of Christ in these end times. We have so many opportunities to do the wrong thing, and boy, would it feel good. Boy, there's a lot of times you just want to walk out of there and say, you know, I just hope you all die, you know. But you don't, do you? You know why? Because you're Christians. And you hang in there, don't you? I hope all of you die, you know. You know, you want to say it's what your heart is, you know, really thinking, but then on the flip side, you're thinking, you know what, I'm a God person, and I'm not going to be like that. And you got to remind yourself all the time to change your perspective, because it'd be easy right now. I mean, think about this mic I'm holding right now. He said, you know, they can't even get mics right now. You know, they're 8 months out. Just think when, you know, what happens if they all didn't work eventually? You know, these end times, there is a lot of famines going on. Lots of things that are just not there anymore. And we're going to have to learn how to adapt. But you know what? We've been adapting for our whole lives. We're Christians. We adapt. We have to adapt to this world we live in. So, and it ain't always good and fun, is it? Amen? Well, I do have one more announcement that you missed. But I checked them off as you were going on back there. But anyway, one quick announcement. VBS, June 13th through the 16th. That's a Monday through a Thursday. And it's 5:30 to 8. So it's in the evening. But we'll serve them dinner. I think they're bringing in, you know, like sirloin. You know, I don't know. Everybody's going to want to go to VBS, aren't they? Like, hey, they're having sirloin at the church tonight. Let's go. I don't know what they're serving, but 5:30 to 6, ages 5 to 12. And, hey, you know, we still, if you've got time, we still have some slots. You know, if you want to serve, you know, see Mary. We'll get you signed up. But if you'd like to serve and help with that, volunteers are needed, of course. But if you have candy and balloons, specifically, I think she said balloons. You know, kids love balloons. So, but they're going to do something special with all those. So if you can bring candy and balloons, we'd appreciate it. And if you'd like to volunteer, just see Mary. Yep. No, I think they're just regular. They're going to make what we're making the water balloons, or we'd like them to bring water. Okay, we're going. They're what? Bring empty balloons. So they're going to make the water balloons. The kids are. So, and I always use this at school. I'm like, if you don't start acting right, we're going to hang you upside down and throw water balloons at you. So maybe that's what they're going to do here. They're going to hang kids upside down and throw. I don't know what they're doing, but it'll be fun, right? You know, can't go wrong with a water balloon. By the way, if you'd like to bless Ricky, this bucket right here. What? You got something quick? Okay, you got an announcement? Okay, before we get to this, then go ahead.
The Texas Alliance Walk for Life is on June 18th, and it's in 6 different locations. And the Texas Alliance for Life, changing lives, saving lives. And y'all, it's so important at this time that we participate, whether we walk or pledge or pray or whatever we do. Because our nation has embraced a lie of abortion. That is a lie. And they don't tell somebody when they go get an abortion what they're actually doing. You know, it's just tissue. It is a lie. They don't tell someone that you would deal with that for the rest of your life. They don't tell someone that it is a soul ordained of God. And y'all, we have to pray and pledge and walk. And I have all the details for the walk at a table out front. And you can give today, you can pledge today, you can take one of these with you and have your friend sign up to pledge. Whatever you do, this is such an important time where we need the Lord to turn this thing around. And He will, and He will, He will. Let's just pray today. Pray and God come and turn this thing around. Turn this thing around, turn it around. Calling on a name that changes everything. Turn it around, turn it around, turn it around in Jesus' name. And He will turn it around as we seek His face. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So there's a change going on in that area, not just in Texas, but nationwide. So there, if you think God, you know, God can turn that around for sure. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of, that's not the only thing that's happening, but this America is, it's going through a transition. It's in a transition phase. So, but if you'd like any more info on that, just, you know, go see her outside on that. You said you had a table out there? Okay. And this bucket right here, if you'd like to bless Ricky, before you get out of here, just come give, you know, when we pray and dismiss. Ricky Bowen Ministries. And if you'd like a tax receipt, make sure you get an envelope or get something that says, you know, put your name on it or whatever, attach it to your check or whatever. But if you want a tax receipt, get an envelope, fill it out. But this bucket right here is for Ricky. If you'd like to bless him, if you haven't done your tithes and offerings, those go in those buckets over there. So, but that's it. Anybody got anything else? We good? All right, y'all stand to your feet. We'll get out of here. Father, let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for a wonderful day. Thank You for changing our perspective, Lord. If we got bad attitudes, Lord, help us. Lift us up. Bless us. Give us a new attitude. Give us a new direction. Guide us. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding, Lord, so we can walk in Your word. Because you wrote the word, Lord. We didn't write it. We're just living out your word. So, Father, we choose to walk in divine revelation and righteousness. Let your word light up our path, Lord, so that we know the directions to go, Father. Thank you for Ricky and his message, Lord. Thank you for blessing him. Thank you for blessing the band, blessing every person that's in this building today. I thank you, Lord. We'll go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're wanting to give, come give. Amen.